So good to see everybody this Lord's Day morning. We've engaged in 3 hours of study and worship. Now we have an opportunity to open up God's Word and consider a portion of it, its meaning to our lives today, and make some application. See if there's some things that we can learn. We've been looking this month in our 11 o'clock hour at royal fail. We've been taking a look at four kings of Israel and Judah who failed royally. We're going to wrap that up this morning by taking a look at King Uzziah. I want to encourage you to have your Bible open to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. We're going to be studying almost exclusively from this chapter this morning in our studies. We wrap this up. Maybe we didn't cover your favorite, least favorite king in this series this month. If not, let me know. We might be able to talk about him somewhere down the road. But it's always good to take a look at the positive examples that we have of men and women just like us who dealt with hardships and overcame through faith. But we also learn lessons from those who failed. And that's the use we've been making of these kings as we've been studying through this short series. I want to start in chapter 26 by reading verses 3 through 5. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verses 3 through 5. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all his father Amaziah had done. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. We can very quickly put together a biographical sketch of this king. He was made king at the age of 16. Imagine that. For those of us who can remember back that far, for those here who are very near that age, that's a lot of responsibility to be put on the shoulders of such a young person. And he reigned 52 years. That's a long reign. The first three kings of Israel reigned 40 years. Saul, David, and Solomon. Here, King Uzziah reigned 52 years. And he starts out, although very young, he starts out as one of the best kings of Judah. We read that he did what was right in the sight of the Lord and that he sought God. And that as long as he sought God, God made him prosper. Now, you hang on to that last phrase there in verse 5. That's very important. A very important defining part of his character and his life. But he did prosper. God did make him prosper. Let's take a look at some of the areas in which this king did prosper. What were some of Uzziah's accomplishments? Well, number one, he was a very successful soldier. We could have read in verse 2 that one of the first things that he did was he recaptured the city of Elah from Edom. This is positioned at the very bottom of Palestine, and it was a port city to the Red Sea. And what in regaining this city, what it did is it opened up a seaport for Judah with trade to Africa, to Arabia, and to India. And so this enriched the nation of Judah, just right here in verse 2. In verses 6 through 8, he made war with the Philistines and with the border enemies of Israel. He placed the Ammonites under tribute. Look at verse 8. Also, the Ammonites brought tribute to Uzziah. His fame spread as far as the entrance of Egypt, for he became exceedingly strong. His fame spread through the neighboring empires. In verses 11 through 14, the chronicle account tells us that he had a large, well-trained, well-equipped army. So he was a successful soldier, much like David, much like his ancestor David, a very successful soldier. But he was also a successful builder. Verse 2 tells us not only that he recaptured the city of Elah, but that he restored it. He rebuilt that city. In verse 6, not only did he conquer the Philistines, but he fortified Judean cities in among the Philistines and equipped those cities and put soldiers in those cities. So there was a strong frontier there, a strong military barrier placed there with the Philistines. In verse 9, he fortified Jerusalem. Read verse 9. And Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, at the valley gate, and at the corner buttress of the wall. Then he fortified them. He wasn't just interested in the further reaches of his empire. He took care of things at home. He rebuilt Jerusalem and fortified Jerusalem. And a very interesting verse is verse 15. Verse 15 says, and he made devices in Jerusalem, invented by skillful men, to be on the towers and the corners, to shoot arrows and large stones. Think about that. We don't know exactly what that is. In doing some study this week, there's one commentator that suggested that these would have been large shields that were put up on the towers that allowed the soldiers behind them to be able to stand up and shoot the arrows and to cast the stones. But others suggest just exactly what it sounds like. These were catapults. Could you imagine that? In that day and time, having catapults there to fight against armies that would come, he made Jerusalem a very fortified city, made it a very safe city in which to live. And it wasn't just Jerusalem, but it was the entire nation that he fortified and made safe. But here's something else about Uzziah, and this is something that is said unique of this king. I don't remember it being said of any of the other kings of Judah or Israel. He was a lover of the soil. He was a farmer. Look at verse 10. Also, he built towers in the desert. He dug many wells, for he had much livestock, both in the lowlands and in the plains. He also had farmers and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved the soil. Here's a man who loved to get his hands dirty. Any of us that plant a garden, any of us that raise any kind of livestock at all, we can appreciate King Uzziah. We've got something in common with him, right? Here's a man who knew how to feed his nation. And it says in verse 10 that he built towers in the desert. What that means is out in these deserted places, not only did he have farmers go out there and till and work the land, but he also built towers to have soldiers who would watch over them for enemies who would come and attack them. And that would allow them to be able to give their full attention to doing this work without wondering if someone was sneaking up on them and making off with their livestock or anything like that. Now, he was a very successful king, a very smart king. He prospered in many ways, but all of this was done because God helped him. And that's an important thing that is pointed out here in our chapter. If you look at verse 5, the very end of it, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. Verse 7 begins, God helped him. And that's a truth we've got to hang on to really appreciate what happens in the rest of this chapter. He is a very strong king. He's a very famous king, but he owes every bit of it to God. Now, if the chapter ended right there at verse 15, if that was the end of the story, King Uzziah would have been one of the greatest kings that Judah ever had, without question. But as we read in verse 5, we know things aren't going to go great, don't we? As long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper, which foreshadows there's going to come a time when he's not seeking after the Lord. And indeed, that time comes. Now, as we study 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles, and as we've gone through looking at these kings who failed this month, what has been the usual sin? The usual sin is idolatry. You can't read Kings and Chronicles without realizing idolatry is terrible. As a matter of fact, that's the reason 1 and 2 Chronicles was written. It was written to tell the community, it was written to tell the Jews who had come back from Babylonian captivity, this is why you went there, don't do it again. And so the sin of idolatry is stressed, especially in the book of Chronicles. But that's not Uzziah's problem. That's not his sin. We don't read anywhere here in this chapter where he has a problem with idolatry. But Satan was still able to get him. And Satan got him using a tactic that each and every one of us struggle with to one extent or another. It was through his pride. So as we've been looking at some of these kings, maybe you've been saying, you know, idolatry, that's not my thing. That's not a problem for me. Well, you might want to look at that and make sure that's true. But even if it's not, here we're talking about something that all of us have to struggle with. And that is our pride. So we're going to learn some lessons about pride today. Just what does it cause us to do? How would it cause a great man to fall? That's what we're going to see here as we look at Uzziah's transgression. I want to read verses 16 through 21. 16 through 21. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. So Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him were 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men, and they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. You shall have no honor from the Lord God." Then Uzziah became furious, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priest, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked at him, and there on his forehead he was leprous. So they thrust him out of that place. Indeed, he also hurried to get out because the Lord had struck him. King Uzziah was a leper until the day of his death. He dwelt in an isolated house because he was a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. Then Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. The book of Chronicles tells us that in his strength, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. He transgressed by taking on the role of the high priest and entering the temple to burn incense unto the Lord. This was a place that only the priests were allowed to go. And it was a work that only the priests were allowed by God to perform. Azariah, the high priest, sees him going in there, a place where he doesn't belong, with that encanter of incense to offer up this incense offering to God, a work he is not to perform, and he goes in after him. And it's not just the high priest who goes in after him. 80 other priests go in with him into the holy sanctuary of the temple to confront him. They withstood the king to his face, and they told him, "Get out. Get out." But Uzziah became furious. No one tells the king what to do. And in his fury and his anger, leprosy breaks out on his forehead. Not on his arms or his hands, but there on his forehead where everyone can see it. And there's no more asking. Now that he is a leper, the priest thrust him out. And he finds out somehow that he's been struck with leprosy, that God has struck him, and so he finally leaves on his own. Uzziah lived the remainder of his life in isolation as a leper. He couldn't appear in public as king anymore. He couldn't live in the royal palace any longer, and he couldn't go to the temple to worship God anymore. In fact, his son had to reign as king in his place for the rest of his life. How did all this happen? Pride. Pride is how all of this happened. You know, the Bible pulls no punches in telling us about how dangerous of a sin pride is. Uzziah became strong He became famous, but he didn't know how to handle that strength. He didn't know how to handle that fame. He didn't know how to handle that success. And Satan wasn't able to tempt him with idolatry. And because God was causing him to prosper, Satan couldn't tempt him with hardships in his kingdom. But there was one other avenue Satan could use, and he got on it. And that was his pride. He approached him through his pride. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18 says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." And this truth of Scripture is illustrated in our present world over and over again, but it's also illustrated in Scripture time and again. This is just one place. Just one place of many where we see that pride causes a great person to fall. But it's not just Bible people, and it's not just things that happen in our day today. People of all cultures, of all time, have understood the danger of pride. I had heard about this before, but this week I did some investigating about a practice that the Romans did. Let's fast forward to the first century, to the time of Christ. The Romans were very successful in many military campaigns. And when a general went off and won a battle, it was celebrated in Rome. He was welcomed back home as a hero, and he would be given a parade, and everybody would pour out into the streets to praise this great champion of theirs. Now, I want to read a portion of the practice of the Romans regarding these celebrations, these parades. In ancient Rome, victorious military leaders were paraded through the streets to be celebrated by the masses. In the procession, in the general's chariot, behind the general in the same chariot was placed a slave whose sole responsibility was to remind the general of his mortality as a hedge against excessive pride. "Memento mori," the slave would whisper. "Someday you will die." Even on the general's greatest day, the Romans included a mechanism by which the conqueror was reminded that he too would be on the receiving end of bad luck at some future date. Uzziah needed that. He needed someone reminding him of who he was. He didn't have it. Instead, he acted on this pride, and it caused him to trespass into an area that was off limits to him. God had taken steps. We notice, one, we mentioned that he took on the role of the high priest. Uzziah went into the temple as the high priest. He took on the role of the high priest. God had taken steps to separate the office of priest and king and to keep them separate. The priests were to come from the tribe of Levi. The kings came through the tribe of Judah. That goes back to a prophecy made by Joshua's father as Jacob was blessing his 12 sons. The scepter would come from Judah. And so they were to come from two separate tribes. Each had their own responsibilities, and each one would receive their own honor. And they were not to combine the two. That privilege was being saved by God for his son, Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ who serves as our high priest and as our exalted king. He has that privilege. Uzziah took it on himself to combine those two roles together, and that was not a privilege that God granted him. So he trespassed. He transgressed in that. But also, he took it upon himself to enter into a part of the temple that was off limits to him. Only the people of the tribe of Levi, only the priest, were allowed to enter into that part of the temple. Well, we talk sometimes about the tabernacle and about the temple and what was in the holy place. You had the lamp and the table of showbread and the incense altar where this This sin is taking place. And then behind that was the Holy of Holies, and only the high priest was allowed to enter the Holy of Holies. Well, only the priests were allowed to enter the holy sanctuary. So we look at that, we talk about that, but not just anybody could walk in there. If you look at Numbers chapter 18, Numbers chapter 18 and verse 7, "Therefore, you and your sons with you shall attend to your priesthood for everything at the altar and behind the veil, and you shall serve. I give your priesthood to you as a gift for service. But the outsider who comes near shall be put to death." What Uzziah was doing, where he was going under the law of Moses, called for him to be put to death. Azariah, if you think about it, Azariah the priest and all those other men who were with him, they're to be commended for having the courage to go and confront the king and tell him, "This isn't for you, and this place is not for you, and get out." Why were they telling him to get out? Because the law of Moses said they weren't supposed to be there. Get out. But listen to me. That's exactly what pride can do to us. Pride will cause us to believe that we are more important than anyone else, and that the limitations that God places upon us don't apply to us anymore. And so we can go places we're not supposed to go. Remember, we're to walk that straight and narrow path. We're to walk in the light. We're to walk where God is, where Christ is, abiding in the doctrine of Christ. No, pride tells us it's okay. You can leave that path. You can go over here where, to a place where God has said you don't belong. But you can go ahead and do that, and you can take it on yourself to do something that God says you can't do. God had told him, by confining it just to the Levites, God had told this man from the tribe of Judah, "You can't offer that sacrifice." But in his pride, he decided, "I'm going to go in there, and that's what I'm going to do." And that's what happens every time you and I sin. In our pride, we're deciding, "This doesn't apply to me today, right here, right now. And I'm going to do what I'm going to do." Pride really is at the source of each and every sin that we commit. So yes, we need to learn from King Uzziah. We need to learn from his downfall. We need to learn from the bad example that he sets for us. But there's something else we need to point out here, and that is that Uzziah failed to repent. Again, what was the penalty for doing what he did? Put him to death. You know, when you think about it, you read what happens here, if you understand what kind of transgression this is, I can't help but think about Nadab and Abihu, right? They were offering an offering of incense, and they were struck dead because they got the fire from the wrong source. Well, this isn't even the right person. What's going to happen to him? Or Uzzah, who puts his hand up to keep the Ark of the Covenant from falling down, struck dead immediately. We might be reading this and wondering, where's the lightning going to come from? And it's going to come any second now, and Uzziah is going to die, but he doesn't. What do we see here? We see an episode of grace on the part of God. That's what we saw last week with Joash, when God sent the prophets. That was an opportunity for him to repent. When Azariah, the chief priest, and the other priest went in there with him and said, "You have transgressed, you have trespassed, this is not for you, get out," if Uzziah would have turned and left, and that's literally what repent means, right? To turn, I have to believe that if King Uzziah would have turned around and left, he would have lived. He would have been forgiven of this sin. And maybe he would have been punished in some way, but he would have been a lot like his ancestor David again in this, whenever Nathan the prophet came to him and said, "Thou art the man," and David said, "I have sinned." That was David turning. This was an opportunity for Uzziah to turn, and he didn't turn. He didn't turn. He didn't repent. He failed to respond to the warning in the proper manner. I want to put verse 19 up here for us to see. Verse 19 says, "Then Uzziah became furious." He became angry with the priest. He resented what they were doing to him, and he raged at them. And no doubt, he would have punished them in some way had he been given the opportunity to do so. The word furious here in the New King James Version, it may be a different word in your translation. I looked at different translations. They all use a different word here to translate. This Hebrew word that's translated furious literally means to boil like a pot, and it refers to a violent storm. How many of us are headed to Nova Scotia? Right? We've got a major hurricane headed that way. There was a major hurricane that was going on in this man's heart, and it was directed at these priests. But who was it really directed at? It was really directed at God. He became furious. He became angry. He was the king, and no one told him no. Who were these men to try to tell him no? You know the way we would put King Uzziah right here in this passage, using our vernacular today? This man got too big for his britches. He got full of himself, and he trespassed. Now, Uzziah was not struck dead, but he was struck with leprosy, and that wasn't much different. He had to live the rest of his life as if he was dead. He couldn't be around people any longer. He couldn't live in his house anymore. He couldn't go to the temple anymore. He couldn't be king anymore. So, in a way, yeah, he was struck dead. But it wasn't when he entered in. It was when he refused to repent, when he was given the opportunity to do so. So much we can glean from this chapter and apply to our lives today. I want to wrap this up by talking about how you and I can overcome the sin of pride. Pride is a very subtle sin. It's an internal thing. It's not something that comes from outside. It's something that each and every one of us has within us. And so we've got to know how to handle it. And we've got to listen to the warning of Scripture that it is extremely dangerous. And we've got to continue to watch over our pride, or it will get the best of us. Satan is just waiting for the opportunity to use it. And oftentimes, pride comes whenever we're on an upswing, doesn't it? Whenever things are starting to straighten out in our life, and things are going good, and we've got some blessings, when things are going good, that's when pride can come. But it doesn't always have to wait till then. We can deal with pride when we're down in the valleys of life as well. So we've got to always be on guard. Now, just to take a look at how to overcome pride, that's a wide open thing to look at. What I want to do as we're studying King Uzziah, I want to take a look at his example and some things that we learn from him about how we can overcome sinful pride in our lives today. Number one, we need to remember who we are before God. We need the constant reminder that God is our creator and we are the creation. I appreciate so much the prayer that Brother Kerry Blackaby led for us this morning. He talked about God's creation. And we need to do that. We need to look at the world around about us. And remember, there is a creator, and it's not me, which means there is a God, and it's not me. And we need to do that every day. When we assemble to worship every Lord's Day, we've got that reminder, I'm not God. I'm not God. God is God, and I am His child. But we are to humble ourselves before God. Not just say that we are his child, but we are to humble ourselves before God. In the book of 1 Peter, at chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. 1 Peter 5, verses 5 and 6 says, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility." I love that phrase that Peter uses there. It's something that we've got to put on because for most of us, it doesn't come naturally. What comes naturally is that pride. And to defeat that pride, we've got to put on humility. So it's going to take some effort on our part. "Be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Don't exalt yourself. Don't brag on yourself. Don't lift yourself up. Let God take care of that in his way, in his time. I promise you, he'll do a much better job at it than you ever can. So let him do it. Let others do that. You work on keeping yourself humble. And as it comes to our relationship with God and remembering who we are before God, I thought this morning, looking over this outline, I thought this morning about Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18, whenever Abraham is interceding for Sodom, because he knows his nephew Lot is living there, and God's going to go destroy Sodom. And so here's Abraham, the friend of God. If anyone knows the right way to approach God, wouldn't it be Abraham? Here's Abraham, the friend of God, speaking with God on behalf of the city of Sodom. This is Genesis chapter 18. I want to look at verse 27, towards the end of this exchange. "Then Abraham answered and said, 'Indeed now, I who am but dust and ashes have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord.'" You need a figure to keep yourself in your proper place before God. You and I are animated dirt. That's who we are before God. We're made of dust. We're animated dirt. That will keep us humble before God. You want to overcome pride? We'd better. Then we've got to work on remembering who we are before God. King Uzziah forgot that. He lost track of that, and he nosedived. Nosedived into an incredible sin. But along with that, we've got to remain grateful to God. We made the point that everything Uzziah had was because of God, not himself. We can step away from 2 Chronicles 26 and realize that everything that we have is because of God, not because of ourselves. We need to be thankful to God for that. Paul got it right when he said in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, "In everything give thanks." Because everything that we have comes from God. And if we'll remember that, then we'll be reminding ourselves every day that we're dependent on God, and that will keep us in our proper place before God. And that will keep pride at bay. It won't get rid of it. We're still going to have to struggle with it, but we'll go a long way in keeping it at bay and controlling it. We look unto and we lean upon God when we're going through our struggles. What Uzziah reminds us is that we've got to look unto and lean upon God when we're enjoying success too. Because when we forget about God, then pretty soon we take the place of God in our own lives. And I want to make this point. Why is it that God hates pride? You spend some time reading through the book of Proverbs, and you're going to find that God hates pride. He's not indifferent towards it. He doesn't dislike it. It's an abomination to him. Why does God hate pride? Because what pride causes you and I to do is to climb up into the throne and kick God out and assume that seat for ourselves. And pride causes us to believe that we are the God in our lives. Isn't that the message we get from the world today? Our young people, aren't they taught that message over and over again? This is your life. You live it however you want to. You don't have to listen to mom and dad. You don't have to listen to your teachers. You don't have to listen to the grown-ups. You don't have to listen to God, that fairy tale. This is your life to live how you want to. That is appealing to your pride. That's all that is. And when we respond to that, we're giving God the boot. We're kicking him out of his chair, and we're trying to set in it ourselves. And that's an affront to God. That's offensive to God. No wonder God finds pride to be an abomination, detestable to him. No, we need to remember who we are. We need to be thankful for what we have, knowing where it came from. And here's the third thing that I see with King Uzziah. We need to respond appropriately to correction. Just like Rehoboam needed to respond appropriately to good counsel, King Uzziah teaches us we need to respond appropriately to correction. How would you feel if 80 priests confronted you as you were doing something and told you to stop? Now, to help you to appreciate that, there are over 80 people in this room right now this morning. So look around you. Look around you and imagine this many people standing between you and what you're trying to do, telling you that it's wrong. Would you listen? Would you listen to them? Maybe, would you think, maybe this many people coming from a place like this, they might know what they're talking about? Why should it take 80 people? Why should it take more than just one? Just one brother or sister in Christ. Just one parent or grandparent or aunt or uncle or friend coming to you, telling you what you're doing is wrong. Because the people that we're close to, they see the things that we do. They hear the things that we say. They're on social media. They see the things that we post. And from time to time, we have to go to one another and say, hey, you're stepping out of line. You're going someplace where you don't belong. And you're doing something that you're not supposed to do. You need to come back. If it's your inclination to react in anger when you're being confronted and corrected by a brother or sister in Christ, you have a problem with pride. If you respond in anger and indignation, just like Uzziah became furious, then red lights ought to be going off. You've got a problem with pride. And instead of being angry and resentful, you need to turn and get out. That's what Uzziah needed to do, and he didn't. Learn from him. And when we are confronted with our sin, let's pray that we've got a humble heart and we're willing to forgive. Proverbs 27, verse 6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Yeah, when people confront us about things we're doing and tell us we're wrong, that's a wound. It hurts. But if it's coming from someone who cares about us, they are a friend. And that's the best wound we can receive. It's much better than ignoring it and plunging into sin and receiving God's wrath. Let's respond appropriately to correction. These are three things that we can learn from the life of Uzziah that can help us to overcome sinful pride in our life. We started out this morning taking a look at the accomplishments of King Uzziah. He was a successful soldier and builder and farmer. What happened? Pride got the best of him. He was a successful soldier, but he was defeated by his own pride. He was a successful builder, but he destroyed his reputation and his relationship with God. And he was a successful farmer, but he reaped the bitter fruit of his pride. And it's written here for our learning. We need to learn from him. Another thought came to my mind about King Uzziah that I didn't work into my notes. As we're reading through the scriptures, we encounter people, ordinary people like you and I, who have those defining moments in their life. Think about Pilate. When he woke up and went to work on that Friday morning, and all of a sudden this Jesus was brought before him, that was his defining moment of his life. It came out of nowhere, and there it was. Here for King Uzziah, this defining moment came out of nowhere, and there it was, changed his life forever. These times come in our lives out of nowhere. And so we need every day to put on the armor of God. Put it on with prayer and enter every day watchful and ready to serve the Lord the best that we can. Let's learn these lessons from these kings. Let's leave this study better off than we were before we came. And I appreciate very much your attention, not just today, but these past 4 weeks as we've looked at these kings. If you're here this morning and you're not yet a Christian, not yet a child of God, could it be because of your pride? Could it be that your pride is standing between you and the salvation of your soul? Are you willing to believe that Jesus is the Son of God? I believe you are. Well, are you willing to confess that belief before others? Or is there a part of you saying, I don't want to make that confession before others? Are you willing to turn away from your life of sin, to get out and to live another life that the Lord calls you to? Or is your pride telling you, no, you just stay right here? Are you willing to be baptized, to have your sins washed away? Or is your pride telling you, no, you don't have to go down and get wet and messy and do all that? You can just believe. Is your pride standing between you and your salvation today? You need to overcome that. Obey the gospel. Make your life right with God. Whatever your spiritual need is, we invite you to let it be made known by coming forward as we stand and sing this invitation song.